If you would, go ahead and open up your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and John chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 13, John 15. I appreciate the hospitality that we've been shown, my family and I, and we appreciate all that everyone's done for us and the working with the pulpit committee and all that they've done. We appreciate it greatly and the kindness we've been shown and had a great time Friday night and then had a great time yesterday morning and just had a wonderful time here in Houston. Before I begin, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for all that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for this time together, and Lord, I pray that you'd move in a great way this morning. Father, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts, not just to our ears. Father, we've gathered in this place to worship you and to honor you with all that's done. Father, more than anything else, we realize we are the body of Christ, and without you, we are nothing. Thank you, Father, for the way you love us and care for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The title of my message this morning is, What Does Love Have to Do with It? The idea behind choosing healthy fruit for our lives. You know, my grandmother used to always say, you know, a rotten apple does what? It spoils the whole bunch or the whole bushel. In our lives, it's the same way. When we produce the wrong kinds of fruit in our lives, we produce a great deal of sickness that permeates in other areas. And we think to ourselves, I don't know how my life got this way. I don't know where I went wrong. I don't know how I ended up here. I don't know how I got in this difficulty. And we blame circumstance, and we blame, if you're a psychologist, you blame parents, and if you're someone else, you blame someone else. There's always someone to blame. But the truth is that many times it goes back to one element of rotten fruit in our lives. It becomes destructive in what we do and permeates other areas. This morning I want to submit to you that there is fruit that God expects from us. And it begins with love. Now, today's world, love is one of those things that everyone throws out. I love you. I love horses. I love houses. I love the color of this paint. I love this sanctuary. I mean, we throw around that word. And truthfully, what happens is the word becomes less and less important. We give it away quicker and quicker and more easily. The truth is, I believe love is an action. It's a choice. So I want you to look with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and see what the Word of God says about love. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, it says, Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestowed all my goods upon to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, and is not provoked, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You see, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they'll cease. Where there's knowledge, it will vanish away. And we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. You see, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, and when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall be known just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. If I was to ask you this morning, what's the most important part of Christianity? How many of you would have said love would come first? You see, as a pastor, I would think it would come back to faith. Faith would come first. If you said, Pastor, what's the most important part of Christianity? And I was just thinking outside myself, I'd say, well, probably faith. If you have faith, you can move mountains. And if you have faith, you can do all kinds of things. If you have faith, you can be saved. If you have faith, so much can be done. And yet Christ says that the main part of life the main part of these is not faith, it's love. In today's culture, we talk a lot about hope. If you can just believe it, you can have it. If you can believe it, you can receive it. You hear pastors preach that kind of nonsense all the time. The truth is that hope's a wonderful thing. I would never want to wake up one morning without hope. But Christ says hope is not the main thing. The Bible tells us that hope falls secondary to love. Love is an action. Notice that it's more than just an action, though. Even though you can prophesy, even though you can speak in tongues, even though you feed the poor, even though you do these incredible works, if you don't have love in your heart when you do them, quite honestly, it's worthless. In our lives as Christians, and particularly as Baptists, we talk about giving sometimes, and we say, oh, you know, this person must be closer to the Lord because they give this and give that or put on a show of different types. And Christ made it clear, you know, to give without wanting to give without love, it's as though you never gave at all. In our lives as Christians, God wants more. I would submit to you this morning that love, it's a choice that we make on a daily basis. Not just an easy choice, because love is not easy. You know, there's some people that look like they've been weaned on pickle juice. Amen? And they're hard to love. I mean, it's like loving a cactus. You've got to be real careful how you get close to it. But the truth is that God expects us to love. And the way we behave, the way we act, and the way we treat one another. You see, verse 7 tells us it bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things. You see, love endures all things. When you got love, you can overcome. When you make the choice to love, you can overcome. You can overcome hatred. You can overcome anxiety. You can overcome frustration. You can overcome relationships that are struggling. You see, if you truly have love in your heart, it can be overcome. The second thing I want you to notice this morning is that love for a Christian, while it's a choice, it's also an effect. I want you to see in John chapter 15, Christ talks about this. In John chapter 15, Christ is following up on the seven I am sayings. If you look in the book of John, there are seven times that Christ says, I am. Things like, I am the bread of life, I am the resurrection of the life, I am the truth of life. Here he says, I am the vine. And this idea of a grapevine. If you know anything about grapes, you know that the grapevine is something they protect very carefully during the wintertime. They make sure it's taken care of and it's pruned back, and they make sure the right kind of soil is around it, and they take care of the main vine, because off of that vine, each spring produces what? New branches. And out of those new branches come the grapes, the harvest, the fruit. Christ is using that metaphor, that picture of the vine, and talking about He is the vine. And I want you to notice that when He talks about He is the vine and we are the branches, I want you to notice there's expectation is that there's going to be fruit produced at the end of the season. But I want you to see what kind of fruit. So as we talk about this idea of love is a choice, I would submit to you that love is also an effect. It's an effect of being a part of Christ. We're the body of Christ. We're a body of believers. So as we talk about love in our life, it's a choice that we make, but it also should be an effect of the one we follow. Look with me, if you will, to John chapter 15, verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. As a Christian, you don't produce love just because you choose to. Now, I can stand up here and tell you, you need to love people more. And you look at me like a calf looking at a new gate, and you say, I want to love people more, but they're prickly, and they're hard to get along with, and they're weaned on pickle juice, it's hard to do. God, I can't love that person, or how am I going to love that person, or I've fallen out of love with that person. How is it that I'm supposed to love them? And Christ says, if you'll do it the way He does it, if you'll commit your life to Him, it will produce love. Not just as a choice, but as an effect, and an effect of being close to Him. I would submit to you today that you can't be close to Christ and not love people. You can't tell me that you know Christ and walk with Him on a daily basis, and your prayer life's where it's supposed to be, and you're in the Scripture the way you should be, and your relationship with Him, and then tell me you hate someone. Because I don't think the two go together. And it's not because of just the choice we make. It's also because of the one that we spend time with. You ever spend some time with people who are negative? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And man, you come away negative, don't you? I got a guy I used to go fishing with, and he used to fuss and complain. That was like his gift of being just to fuss and complain. And we'd go out fishing, and I'm telling you, I would come home and I would be fussing and complaining. And Ron would be like, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "I don't know. I just angry at the world." And I start thinking back, it's because I went fishing with this guy. It rubs off, doesn't it? In the same way, if you spend time with Christ, what's going to rub off? It's love. It's caring. It's putting other people ahead of yourself. It's seeing God move in your life. That's a part of being attached to the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. But Christ doesn't stop there with the illustration. I want you to also notice this. Starting in verse 6, I want you to see that Christians produce not just any kind of fruit, but healthy fruit that glorifies God. In verse 6 it says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch, and it withered, and it gathered them, and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, and you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. And by this my Father will be glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. And as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I've heard from the Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And these things I command you, that you love one another." You see, the fruit that you produce as a Christian ought to be healthy, and the way you know whether or not it's healthy fruit is, does it glorify God? Rick Warren wrote in the first line of his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, it's not about you. And life really isn't about you, and yet we live in a society that tells us it is. We see all kinds of marketing campaigns from all over the world that say, you know, if you'll buy this watch, you'll be better. If you'll wear this dress, you'll be sharper. If you'll wear this makeup, you'll be more beautiful. If you'll use this book, you can have more friends. If you can do this, you can have a better job. If you'll buy this toy, you'll have a better garden. I mean, all these things are what? About you. About you improving and you better and you and you and you. And yet, when you see Christianity, what does Christ say? Love your neighbor as yourself. Put others before yourself. Make sure that the love that you have, the fruit that you produce, the world sees God through you. That ought to be the goal. That ought to be the role. That ought to be the life of the Christian. But then I close with this. I want you to see this one part. It says, "Greater love have no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." When Christ talks to us, there's nothing that he asks of us that he does not do in and of himself. When he talks about you and your life and producing fruit and producing love and caring about other people, he knows how prickly people can be, and he knows how hard people can be at times, and he knows how relationships can be tough at times. And yet he gave the illustration of laying down his life. And here's the thing that's incredible to me. He didn't just lay down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for people who hated him, who despised him, and who wrongly used him. He laid down his life for me and for you. And he doesn't say, "Look, I lay down my life for when you get better." He didn't say, "I lay down my life so that when you get your life right, then you can have this." He says, "I laid down my life for you even when you were unlovable, even when you were prickly, even when you were acting like others should not love you. He said, I lay down my life for you then. So this morning I want to ask a question. What kind of fruit are you producing? See, we can talk all we want about love and words like that. But at what point are you going to actually start showing it? In every area of your life. Not just the easy areas. Not when the kids come up and hug you and you hug them back, or when your wife or husband or your neighbor loves you. I'm talking about when are you going to show it when someone else treats you badly? When are you going to show it in your life at a time when others don't deserve it? See, God's expectation of us is that it should come through at all times. You say, well, Todd, I can't do that. And according to the scriptures we just read, I would agree with you. You can't. But you can choose to let Christ come through you. And the fruit that will be had will be fruit that glorifies God and honors Him. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, your Lord and Savior. You've never asked Him to come to your life. You've never given Him your life. I want to tell you something. You really don't know what I'm talking about. Now, you think you do. But the truth is that you can't know until you've experienced being part of the vine. If you're here today, I want you to know two things. Number one, God loves you. And He knows about all the sins in your life, and He knows about how you treat other people and how you've been treated and all those things that you'd throw up and how many times you might say that God couldn't love me. I want to tell you something. He really does. He loves you warts and all. And He's proud of you. But He doesn't want it to end there. He longs for you to know Him the way He knows you. And that can't happen until you're willing to give your life to Him. Until you're willing to say, God, I am sorry for where I've sinned against you, and give Him your life. So this morning, in a minute, I'm going to bow my head and I'm going to have a word of prayer. And when I get through with that, we're all going to stand and sing. And if you want to, the altar will open up. But if you want to give your life to Christ, if you'll come up, I can show you how you can do that today. That you would not leave here without knowing what real love is. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we pray that You'd move in this service at this time. Father, if there's even one person here today who doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, who doesn't know the kind of love that You have for them, or for some reason or another doesn't believe that You could love them, Father, move in their hearts this morning. That God, today would be the day of salvation. That God, today would be the day of new relationship with You. And God, for us Christians that are here, God, forgive us for we fail You in this area and the fruit that we produce is negative. God, help us to love other people the way You've already shown to love us. And God, I pray that You begin right now. That God, this week, You would show us how to love that person that we thought was unlovable. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. If you want to come up in the front and pray, this altar's open. If you want me to pray with you, I'd be honored to do that. Whatever God's calling you to do, you let Him move in your heart today.
Number 281.
Speak.
you would, everybody be seated for just a minute.